There's a lovely guy, a Christian guy called Roger. He was supposed to come to speak at a lecture that I was attending up in London. And the topic was all about making Jesus better known. We waited and we waited. And after half an hour later than planned, Roger finally turned up. He stood at the front of this lecture room. He was slightly out of breath, and not just because he's old, but he spoke with great excitement. He apologized for being late. He explained that he was delayed because the taxi driver had asked him at the beginning of their journey across London what his job was. The taxi driver soon realized that had been a mistake. Roger's job was to tell people about Jesus. And so he spent this entire taxi journey across central London telling the driver about why Jesus was such good news. And on arrival to this lecture hall, Roger gave the cabbie a book all about Jesus. And then Roger continued to sit there for a half an hour longer than intended, telling why he should read this book again, why Jesus was so amazing. Now, I wish I was more like that. I don't wish I had his briefcase filled with Bibles in them to hand out to people. Roger's slightly weird, I agree. But I wish I had his confidence and certainty. And to be honest, it feels slightly weird giving a sermon on making Jesus better known when we've got Glenn coming next week to help us think through how we can speak to others at our church weekend next week. So if you don't understand anything I'm saying, come back next week, simply. That's probably best. But what I am grateful for is what we read this evening in Luke 24. And I pray that this evening it's God's word that will give us confidence and clarity to the good news that we have. I hope that this Bible, is the certainty we have to share the good news with the people around us. Now, the reason we're looking at this topic is because we're finishing, as Jenny said, looking into our identity and purpose as a church. Hopefully, if you're a part of the church family here, you already know this statement. Just in case you don't, here it is up on the screen. Knowing Jesus better and making Jesus better known. That is what we're about as a church. And over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about these three subsections, if you like. Why we should teach the word of God to all ages. Last week we had Andrew helping us to think through why we're to be a community who pray and care and serve for one another for the glory of God. And this evening we're going to look at why we're to share the good news with our parish and with our town and with the world beyond. And we're going to use Luke 24 to help us through on that. I put the points up on the screen. If you'd like to make notes, sometimes that's helpful. Let's dive into Luke 24 and have a look. Because simply, verses 36 to 43, why have we got good news to share? Well, it's because Jesus is present with his disciples. Now, it'd be very easy to miss this point that Jesus was alive and present. But actually, this is the highlight of all the four eyewitness accounts to the life of Jesus. All four Gospels declare at the end that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, I get so used to saying this in my ministry to the young people. Simple talk, isn't it? Good news, Jesus is alive. I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with that message. It's a truth that I have in my head. But the danger is that actually that truth can become sanitized because we talk about it so much. So can we just spend one moment for yourself looking down at the passage and thinking about this for yourself? The crucified Jesus, who is innocently and gruesomely killed. He's alive. Death could not hold him. We've just sung that. And here in Luke's gospel, he stands among his disciples. He is present with them. Not in some spiritual, ghostly sense, as the disciples worried about in our passage. He has a physical body and he stands in front of them. More than that, he shows them his hands and his feet. More than that, he eats with them to show them that the frightened disciples, that it was true. The disciples' fear, well, it's turned to joy and marvel. Why? Because Jesus is alive and he is present with his disciples. And that is still true for us today. You and I, we have good news to share. He is alive. And we can have confidence in this. The fact that Jesus is alive is the news that needs to be shared with our parish, with our town, and with the world beyond. I recently met a guy who came into the church building and he wanted to know about Jesus. I was slightly disappointed that he got me. But he asked me, why is Jesus different from any other religion? Well, Luke 24 tells us, Jesus is alive. I explained to him, Buddha, dead. Muhammad, dead. Guru Nanak, Gandhi, Darwin, deadsies. They cannot talk about eternal life if they are dead. They don't have the right. Jesus is the only one who can talk about life after death because he is the one who defeated it. The apostles, they're not sure, but yet they become certain of this truth. These are the guys who died for telling people that Jesus rose again. The US Christian rapper, Shay Lin, he puts it like this. I'm not going to rap it. Relax. The disciples weren't stupid guys who would ruin their lives and then choose to die for what they knew was a lie. Now, I know that the resurrection of Jesus can be hard to speak of, but take encouragement from what the disciples do when they see Jesus. They're not filled with belief and confidence. They think Jesus is a ghost. Last year, the BBC reported that 25% of people who called themselves Christians, they didn't believe in a physical resurrection. Now, Luke writes his gospel because he wants the reader to be absolutely certain about the things that they had heard and what we read about. Luke wants people to be utterly confident that the resurrection of Jesus was true. Our good news to our parish, to our town, to our friends and families and colleagues is that Jesus is alive. And we long for more people to react like verse 41. With disbelief, there is joy and marveling at the risen and present Jesus. We want more people to know Jesus so that they can be filled with joy, praising God, their Saviour. But to help with their unbelief, if you like, verses 44 to 47, Jesus is also present with them in the scriptures. Do you see how Jesus puts their minds at ease? He uses the scriptures. Halfway through verse 44, everything written about me, Jesus, in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. See, Jesus shows the disciples again from the scriptures, the entire Bible, if you like, how it speaks of his suffering, his rising from the dead, and repentance and forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed. Jesus is the one who is promised throughout all the Bible, and that he fulfills, he completes, if you like, all the Bible had promised and spoken of. This whole book is all about Jesus. And so we have confidence in the risen Jesus today because we can see how he has fulfilled and completed the scriptures and will fully complete when he returns. It's this confidence of the promises fulfilled by Jesus. It comes from him opening up the disciples' minds to understand the scriptures. As you read through Luke's follow-on book after the gospel, the book of Acts, we see that Jesus continued to work through his apostles and through the church, and how they used the scriptures to share the good news, to show people who he is and why he came, how he was the promised Savior. And yet, sadly, the danger is today is that churches want to leave this teaching. That we should only use the nice bits of the Bible, and we should ignore or disregard bits of the Bible that we disagree with. There's people I know who said, we need more New Testament and less Old Testament. We want more Jesus. We like him. Or, I'm more of a New Testament person than an old. But yet Jesus shows us that we have good news to share on every page of this book. The entire Bible story points us to him, his coming, his death, and his resurrection. And Luke, again, wants us to have confidence in the entirety of the scriptures, how they point us to Christ. And so we keep sharing as a church the good news from the scriptures. We continue to teach the whole word of God and show others from the scriptures the risen Jesus. We're to do that in our corporate time, our together time as a family on Sundays and in home groups, but also in our individual walks. When we share with people the good news of Jesus, we use the Bible. And we make sure we're backed up by what we say from the Bible. And wonderfully, we have confidence that we do not speak on our own. Because we have hundreds of promises from God in this book. And we can stand on them with certainty that Jesus has fulfilled them all. So Jesus is present. He's alive. He's present in the scriptures. And verses 46 to 48, well, this Jesus, this risen Jesus from the scriptures, well, he's to be proclaimed to the nations. Because in these verses, Jesus also gives us the message that's to be given. Verse 46. It is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Do you see how the message that is given to us is centered around the cross and the resurrection of Jesus? Jesus says that the apostles are to go out, and with this good news of the cross and the resurrection, they're to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. And that has not changed today. It is the same message given to us by the risen Christ. Churches who want to talk about God's love because it's easier than talking about his anger for sin. Because we feel slightly awkward telling others that they need to repent like we've done to receive forgiveness of sins. And so we must continue to talk about sin and repentance. How people must turn away from their sin and put their trust in Jesus to receive that forgiveness. I'm not doing this to slam any other churches. It's so easy to get off message. And Luke is reminding us, Jesus is reminding us that we do not need a new message. We stick to the one that he gave us. We're to keep proclaiming it. even when it's hard. Because it is good news for all nations. We are to send people out into our parish, into our town, and to the world beyond. God's agenda to change the world and to change individuals is the suffering Saviour who conquered the grave, and how we desperately need to repent and receive God's provision of forgiveness. It's a simple message, really, isn't it? But yet it's so hard. And yet churches are to continue with this message. We continue talking about sin and repentance because we have good news to share. It is good news because through Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection and ascension, and the proclamation of that message, God is forgiving people's sins. So let us use this message in the Bible and see who God saves. Finally, verse 49, we have a promise of power. Because wonderfully, as Jesus goes back up to his throne in heaven, the church, she's not left on her own. Yes, Jesus leaves, but he gives us a gift. It's the gift of his Spirit. The apostles are some scared blokes who have absolutely no idea of what they're doing. And yet, in the book of Acts, Luke's, again, follow-on book, they are standing up to scrutiny, persecution and suffering, but continuing to proclaim the risen Jesus to people. This change happens not because they need to try harder, but it's because Jesus clothes them with power from on high. He gives them the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and he empowers the church to speak with boldness. The apostles' confidence, their certainty, comes from God and from what God had done for them in the Lord Jesus. It is through God's power that the church still proclaims today. When one of us tells someone about Jesus, it's simply just hot air, if you like. They're just words. And yet God will use those words to turn someone from their sin. Only God can convict a person of their need to have forgiveness from him. The work we do is what Jesus continues to do by the power of his Spirit. And we simply have to speak the message that is given to us. Thankfully, it's not about me, it's about him. The Spirit does the work in people's hearts. And again, the book of Acts is the proof of this. The believers, they go around, they speak the message. They go starting from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria. They're trying to get to the ends of the earth. It is the word that is carried by the Spirit that does the work in the unbelievers' heart. When people listen and understand, it's not because of our perfect words. Or when they don't want to know any more, it's not because of my rubbish skills as an evangelist. So when you tell your work friend Meredith about why you're a Christian, why you go to church, and then she says, I don't really care, I'm not really interested, I'm not really a God person. Well, it's not down to you. It's not a lack of knowledge. It's not poor words. Let's be confident in the message that we have. And we keep praying for the Merediths of this world. Or when you explain forgiveness of your sins to your school friends, Douglas, and they understand it, and they want to come along to youth group, well, that is the Spirit working. It's not you. It is God that gets the credit. Not us. It is God's power that saves people from their sins. We are simply his messengers. and we have good news to share. So to finish up, our identity and our purpose as a church. Knowing Jesus better. Making Jesus better known. And what I've been stunned at over the last few days is how easy it is for a church to lose sight of where you're going and who you're doing things for. I'm in no way saying St. John's is perfect. I've met me. I know we're not perfect. So please would you pray that we would remain a church that is about Jesus. Please would you check up on us. In all that we do, in our different ministries, in the way that we serve and care for one another, in the way that we serve the children and the youth groups, in our small groups and in Roots and in women's Bible studies, and in Sunday services and in our sermons, would you check up on us? Make sure that we're keeping to our identity as a church who stick to the message and stick to the word. Or if you want to help make Jesus better known, why not join a small group like Roots or like Youth Group or like the Kids Work or Daddy and Mummy and Me, where we are trying our best for the glory of God to make Jesus better known. How we can show other people from his message, from his word, the good news. Please make sure that we are praying and caring and serving one another so that we know Jesus better and that we make Jesus better known for the glory of the risen Christ. Amen.